Welcome back. I'm Graham Richardson. Coming up to the top of the hour. I hope you're having a good afternoon. Always like talking to Dan Riskin, our CTV science and technology specialist.
It's good for you overall.
Yeah, this is great. It's a dream, man.
The headline is Riskin It All.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going with this.
With Dan Riskin.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Don't you love that song? Isn't that just an exciting way to go into the segment? I love it every time. I'm like smiling ear to ear over here.
You get your own stinger. It's a great
Yeah, man. I got my own sting, the risk and sting. I made it in my cell phone ring. No, I haven't done that yet, but I should. That's for the audio file.
Self-driving cars and this part of technology is moving fairly quickly. It seems, generally speaking, that we're getting there. We will get there perhaps sooner than people think, and it depends on what it's going to look like. Obviously, the safety is the biggest question. There's an interesting study that's been done in Japan about physically doing something to the car when it's self-driving.
Yeah. You know what? It used to be like, I don't know, certainly in the 90s when I was in university, that Japan had just had all these wacky ideas. And you'd be, oh, in Japan, they do this. Oh, in Japan, they have these crazy vending machines. And it feels like the rest of the world just kind of shifted and became as loopy as Japan once was. But I think Japan's taken the title back because their idea here, and this is a press release out of the University of Tokyo, is to put giant googly eyes on the front of a self-driving car so that the car can look at you as it drives past you. So you're a pedestrian and you're thinking about crossing and the car is coming, excuse me. And then as the car approaches, these giant googly eyes make eye contact with you on the front of the car. Now, remember, there's no driver, right? This is a self-driving vehicle. So there's no driver to make eye contact with like you would when you're about to cross. And the idea is that these eyes will look you in the eye and that will give you whatever you communicate with the driver when they look you in the eyes, you know, when you make eye contact with a car driver that's coming, you kind of know they're not going to hit you because they see you. So that's the idea with this is if you make eye contact with the car, maybe it's not going to hit you. And if it doesn't make eye contact with you, maybe that's a clue that you shouldn't cross.
Where are the eyes? Are they like in the headlights or somewhere else?
Well, so for the test of this idea, they put them where the headlights are supposed to be. So presumably, do self-driving cars need headlights? I guess they probably do.
Yeah.
I mean, they use LiDAR and all this other stuff, but also we need to see them coming. So they should have lights for that reason. But the pictures are hilarious. They basically got this, it looks like a golf cart. And it's a self-driving vehicle that really works as a self-driving vehicle, but they put these eyes on it. And it looks, I mean, a car already kind of looks like a face because of the headlights, but now it's like, these look like a Muppet's eyes, right? And they move back and forth, the robotic. And so what they had to figure out whether this is actually going to work, right? The question is, could this technology actually reduce fatalities from people getting, you know, pedestrians getting hit by a self-driving car? So what they did is they put a 360-degree virtual reality camera on a tripod at the place where a pedestrian would be standing getting ready to cross the street. And then they drove the self-driving car down the street past it. And in some of the trials, there were no googly eyes. It was just a normal self-driving car. And sometimes it stopped and sometimes it kept going. And in other trials, it had googly eyes where it would make eye contact with you and then stop, or it would not make eye contact with you and it would keep going. And then they had these four videos, these four different like scenarios. And then people in an experiment put on virtual reality goggles so they could, in virtual reality, stand on the side of the road where this thing is going to go by and then decide whether to cross or not without actually being in danger of being hit by the vehicle.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I was going to say it's kind of difficult to test this, right? Without hurting people.
Yeah, exactly. And so they had to do a lot of legwork to make it all happen, but they did it. And so now they've got these videos of a self-driving car with googly eyes coming down the street. And what's interesting is that the overall error rate went down, which is good. It makes you think the googly eyes are the way to go. But unfortunately, what did not go down is the number of times that somebody stepped out in front of a vehicle that was not slowing down to stop for them. And so they would have been hit in real life. And so if you have no eyes or if you have eyes, that happens about the same amount of the time. It's about 30% in this particular trial, which just reminds you why it's a good idea to do it in virtual reality instead of with real people.
Right.
Or instead of with real cars and real people.
Yeah.
But what did change is there's a scenario where both of them stop, like the person doesn't cross and the car stops, and you've kind of wasted a couple seconds there. I mean, it's safe, but it was an error in the sense that there was a miscommunication about who was going to go, and both of them ended up stopping. And that happened less frequently thanks to the eyeballs. So the eyeballs might not reduce deaths or people getting hit by vehicles, which is kind of what it was for, but it might make things more efficient. And also, it would put giant googly eyes on everybody's Tesla and all their other cars. And so I think it's worth doing just for the comedic factor. Mm-hmm. It didn't make things worse, which is one good thing. But yeah. It didn't have the desired effect, despite the wacky creative idea and all the work that they put into trying to make this happen, you know, in an experiment.
It's illegal, but some of these new cars like Tesla, they can drive themselves right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, they have self-driving modes, and a lot of people are pretty worked up about what that means. I mean, there are a lot of really big questions. Like, if somebody does get hit by one of these vehicles and it's in self-driving mode, whose fault is it? Is it the person that bought the car, that programmed the car, that is sitting in the car, or nobody's fault? It's just a machine, you know, it's just a tragic accident. What do you do with it? And, you know, it doesn't take much for, you know, a very small error rate with the number of cars that are out there and the number of different scenarios. It can be pretty daunting. But the other thing is that people make tons of dumb mistakes all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And somehow we've come to accept that and be like, well, you know, that's just the way it is with cars because we're used to it. Mm-hmm. But that's a well-known cognitive bias. It's called the status quo bias. It's, you know, we're used to this kind of thing. So we accept the fact that people who, you know, probably shouldn't be driving a vehicle because the test to drive is so darn easy, you know, are out there on the roads. And, well, you know what? They have to get places, and we have to, as a society, people have to have freedoms and all that stuff. We're very worried about these autonomous vehicles, but we accept other kinds of risk that are arguably probably bigger. So
I remember, early days of testing, and somewhere, I think it was California, there was a death or something happened. Mm-hmm. And they came out and they said, we're going to have more deaths. And there are thousands of deaths on the road now that are caused by people driving cars with no automation. And it is a different way to look at it. Like, we're pouncing on this one incident of a testing death, and it's like, you see, it's not safe. And of course, then we all jump in our cars and go 135 on the highway, or, you know, do a slow rolling stop through a school zone or something like that. And it's much more dangerous.
Absolutely. And so it's interesting. So I'm really interested in the status quo bias. And in fact, there was an experiment that just came out recently where they showed participants a new technology. And it's a technology, actually, it's not even a new technology. It's just a technology that people would not have familiarity with unless they worked in that specialized field. And they told people experimentally that the technology was from either 10 years before the day they were born, or from 10 years after the year they were born. And so they asked the participant, what year were you born beforehand? And then they manipulated it for the experiment. And people who believe that existed before they were born, they like the technology. And when they're told that it was invented after they were born, they like it a lot less. Mm-hmm. We have this built-in bias that we don't trust things, you know, drones, self-driving cars, you know, whatever technology it is, even smartphones, kids with smartphones, all these different things. We have this built-in bias that we're scared of those things when in fact it might not be worse than the status
might be
quo,
better.
But we trust the status quo.
All right, Dan, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Dan Riskin, CTV Science and Technology Specialist. I'm Graham Richardson. Thanks so much for being here on the Evan Solomon Show.